Recording in progress.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Board of Supervisors Planning Meeting, Thursday, June 12th, and ask the clerk to please call the roll to establish our quorum.
Supervisor Marquez?
Present.
Supervisor Tam?
Present.
Supervisor Miley excused. Supervisor Fortunato Bass excused. President Halbert?
Present.
We have a quorum.
Would you all please rise if you can and join me in the salute to the flag. Thank you very much. Item one is approval of the minutes of the planning meeting of May 8th.
Mr. Chair, I will move approval of the minutes of May 8th.
I'll second.
Very good. It's been moved and seconded to approve item one, the minutes of the planning meeting May 8th. Will the clerk see if there's any public comment? Seeing none, I'll ask the clerk to please call the roll.
Supervisor Marquez?
Aye.
Supervisor Tam?
Aye.
Supervisor Miley excused. Supervisor Fortunato Bass excused. President Halbert?
Aye. That item passes. Item two, we do not need to proceed to a closed session or have a conference with legal counsel. So indeed, we will move to item three, which is the consent calendar, including items four and five. Is that right? Just item three.
Three and four.
Three and four. Okay, I'm sorry, I misread that. Including items three and four. Is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
I will move the consent calendar.
I'll second.
Very good. Is there any public comment on the consent calendar?
We have speakers.
Thank you.
Kelly, you're on the line. Kelly, you have 2 minutes. Kelly, can you hear us? No more speakers.
Okay, very good. Thank you. If we could resolve the technical issues at some point, I would appreciate that. But seeing that we don't have to take the vote on this just yet. If we can at some point fix the technical difficulties, why don't we come back and do it? Would that be okay with council? Because the public commenter wasn't able to comment.
That's fine. You can come back to the consent calendar.
Okay. With that said, we will move on to the regular calendar. And I note a continuation of item six and, is it eight? Six and eight to our September meeting. So with that, we'll move to item five, Altamont Landfill Settlement Agreement, Education and Advisory Board's Expenditure Plan for fiscal year 2025-26.
Good morning, supervisors. I'm Liz McElligott from the County Planning Department, and I'll be giving you a brief report on this item. As part of the 1999 settlement of litigation over the expansion of the Altamont landfill, the parties to the litigation agreed that the county would impose a per ton fee on the Altamont landfill. In accord with the settlement agreement, a portion of the per ton landfill fees fund the education account. The account balance as of April of this year was over $600,000. The Education Advisory Board is responsible for proposing the allocation of funds in the education account to support diversion education programs, job training in the field of waste diversion, recycling, and to mitigate impacts of the landfills on the affected neighboring communities. The City of Livermore provides financial management of the EAB, and the EAB works with an independent contractor to provide administrative support and process dispersal of funds to grant recipients. The EAB, which began meeting in 2003, consists of five voting members, two members from the Northern California Recycling Association, one from the City of Livermore, one from the City of Pleasanton, and a member from the Alameda County Source Reduction and Recycling Board. The settlement agreement requires concurrence by the NCRA, the cities of Livermore and Pleasanton, and the county to fund any proposed allocation from the education account. Resolutions from Livermore, Pleasanton, and the NCRA concurring with the EAB's fiscal year 2025-26 expenditure plan are attached to your board letter. Today, the EAB is requesting your board's concurrence with the proposed budget for the coming fiscal year. And you may remember this is something that comes to your board every year about this time. The proposed expenditure plan for 2025-26 outlines the funding needs and objectives. The proposed budget also acknowledges that the unexpended funds from previous grant years will be carried over if necessary and applied to the 2025-26 grant year. The expenditure plan is in the, as I said, in the amount of $628,000, and details a breakdown of how those funds would be allocated are provided in your board letter. The 2025-26 expenditure plan and the 2024 annual report, which includes a list of approved grants for the 2024-25 fiscal year, are attached to your board letter also. The staff recommends that your board review and approve the EAB's proposed expenditure plan for fiscal year 25-26. And I believe a member of the EAB is present online to answer questions about the proposed budget.
Very good. Thank you very much. I'll just start by saying I'm very supportive of educational grants, which I believe many of these are, educating our community on how to be good stewards of recycling is important. Any questions or comments from my colleagues? Seeing none, I'll thank the, you call it the member of the EAP? Who's on the line?
I'm not sure the name of the person, but it's a member of the EAB, Education Board.
We'll thank them for being here, but otherwise have no questions, and instead Supervisor Marquez will make the motion and Tam will second it. What do you think? Public comment on this item. Do we have any members of the public? We do.
We have speaker.
All right.
All right. Thank you. I hope my speaker is working now. I think a fault was on my end. This planning commission takes up some very important matters every once in a while when it meets. And it is very disappointing that we have two empty chairs here today. This continues a pattern, a years-long pattern, of having an empty chair. And in this case, it's even worse, two empty chairs. And the lack of attendance here today is symptomatic of the board's disregard for the issues that the Board of Supervisors has a tremendous disregard for the Planning Commission issues. And the Altamont Commission, the things that it does are very important. And it should be noted that Supervisor David Halbert has now taken it upon himself to exercise personal attention to the Altamont Commission and the committee. And at the last meeting, he was there and personally chaired the board. Although he was never appointed chair, but we'll talk about that at a different time, but that's a good sign that the board is finally starting to pay proper attention to this. It should be noted that on the internet, on the broadcast of his chief of staff, Mr. Wilson, he thanked me. I believe he thanked me for freeing up his Friday afternoons so that he didn't have to attend and waste his, spend his time there. It should be noted, we need to thank Mr. Wilson for his years of service. I don't mean years. It's over a decade. He first went into that committee in something like 2011 or 2012 and sat there unappointed for 12 years. So, you know, when he wants to go on the internet and talk about these issues at the Altamont Open Space Committee, thank you.
See, no more public comment. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move item number 5, Ultimate Landfill Settlement Agreement Education Advisory Board's Expenditure Plan for fiscal year 25-26 with the amount of $628,665.
I'll second.
Thank you, Supervisor Marquez and Supervisor Tam. Will we have a roll call vote? Please have a roll call vote.
Supervisor Marquez?
Aye.
Supervisor Tam?
Aye.
Supervisor Miley, excuse. Supervisor Fortunato Bass? Excuse. President Halbert?
Aye. With that said, let's go back to the consent calendar. I think it was moved and seconded, and we were at public comment. If we could reopen public comment for the consent calendar item and ask if there's any public comment on the consent calendar, which includes items 3 and 4.
No speakers.
Okay, then let's have a roll call vote on the consent calendar, please.
Supervisor Marquez?
Aye.
Supervisor Tam?
Aye.
Supervisor Miley, excused. Supervisor Fortunato Bass, excused. President Halbert?
Aye. We'll move on to then item 7. A second reading.
Excuse me, President Halbert. Before you move on, can you please state for the items you wish to continue the meeting that you're continuing it to? Those were items
September
6 and 8.
September meeting for both 6 and 8.
September 11th.
Ah, we have to give the date, September 11th?
Yes.
Ooh, September 11th is 9/11. We will be meeting on 9/11. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Item 7 is second reading and adoption of an ordinance amending provisions of section 17.30.170. And I'll ask for a brief staff report.
Good morning, Supervisors. Allie Abbers with the Planning Department. On May 8th of this year, your board conducted the first reading of an ordinance amending section 17.30.170 of the Alameda County General Code. Zoning pertaining to the development of visitor-serving commercial uses in the cultivated agriculture combining district, and adopted an addendum to the 1993 environmental impact report for the South Livermore Valley, South Livermore area specific plan as the appropriate CEQA document to address the proposed amendments. This second reading of the ordinance amendment fulfills the statutory legal requirement, and the ordinance will take effect 30 days following a favorable action by your board. So the staff recommendation is that your board conduct the second reading and adopt an ordinance amending section 17.30.170 of the Alameda County General Ordinance Code. Thank you.
Very good, thank you. Do we have any questions from my colleagues? I will note this is a second reading. I will note that we had some extensive dialogue of this item here at our previous meeting. It went through extensive dialogue with our Planning Commission. I'd like to thank members of the public and members of the Tri-Valley Conservancy who also provided extensive testimony and input into this item at our first meeting. This is a second reading. I'm very supportive of moving forward and finalizing it today. We'll first go to public comment before we take a motion and a vote. Any members of the public that wish to speak?
We have speakers.
Okay, thank you.
Diana Roberts, you have 2 minutes.
Hi, I'm calling in from the Tri-Valley Conservancy. Thank you, Board of Supervisors and planning staff. We really wanted to just express appreciation for supporting these crucial amendments to the ECAP and zoning, and these will be long overdue improvements and hopefully very much contribute to the success and the long-term success of our Livermore Valley wine industry. So wanted to just express our support for the final approval and appreciation to the board and staff for all of their work. Thank you.
Kelly, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you. I'd like to point out that, well, first of all, I support this measure, fully support it, and point out that it only applies to the South Livermore Valley area. And the South Livermore Valley Plan Environmental Impact Report. So this is a very special area. We should support this kind of, loosening of the zoning rules because what makes it special? Because, the South Livermore Valley area is not just focused on agricultural production. We're not just measuring how many bushels of wheat or pounds of potatoes or kilograms of grapes or how, I don't know how they measure grapes are being produced or pistachios or whatever it is. This is an entertainment area. The people, this is about tourism. This is about, visitor accommodations and overnight stays and people riding bicycles up and down the rural roads and not so rural roads and all these activities, people consuming products which may or may not be locally produced. I really don't care. All those activities need to be encouraged and supported in the South Livermore Valley area plan. And this kind of loose zoning is very good for, because that's a very special area with the proper kind of infrastructure, of roads, of sewers, of everything, where these kind of activities, intensive activities, that are really well placed. Thank you.
No more speakers.
Very good. If I could exercise a point of personal privilege, could I make the motion that we approve the second reading of item number 7, and I'll seek a second. It's been moved and seconded. Albert Marquez, if you could read what we're approving.
President Halbert, a point of clarification, are you waiving the full reading?
After she reads it, I'll do it the correct way. Go ahead.
An ordinance amending section 17.30.170 of the Alameda County General Code to promote development of visitor-serving uses supporting the South Livermore Valley area by listing additional conditional uses and providing for clustering plans in the Cultivated Agriculture, CA, Combining District.
Well, that was a mouthful. Thank you. I would like to request that we would waive the full reading and move for its adoption. The second reading as stated. And it's been seconded.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Supervisor Marquez?
Aye.
Supervisor Tam?
Aye.
Supervisor Miley excused. Supervisor Fortunato Bass excused. President Halbert?
Aye. Thank you very much. That item passes. Our next item before us is item 9, a first reading of an ordinance to modify the definition of swimming pools. We have a brief staff report. Mr. Lopez, thank you.
Yes, we do. So the title explains the item. After a robust roadshow that included the Sunol MAC, Cache Valley MAC, Eden MAC, and the Fairview MAC, Planning Commission, Transportation and Planning Committee, this is a ordinance to essentially change our zoning code so that swimming pools are no longer counted towards floor area or would count towards floor area ratio. There is a draft ordinance in your packet that through strikeouts and new text shows what actually the changes will be. And this would allow, for example, someone to build a home and not be, if they wanted to have a swimming pool, that area would not be subtracted from their potential square footage. And so we feel like this is, it's been a item that's been in our code for many years, but it does seem like it is appropriate to change it, given that, given just the fact that homes are getting a little larger, especially in East County. So with that, again, there is a draft ordinance in your packet for your consideration and action. We're asking that you do the first reading and then make a finding that this project would be exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act as well. And be happy to answer any questions.
Very good. Are there any questions? Seeing none, we'll have public comment.
Excuse me, President Halpert. I'd like to point out that this item was continued from the May 8th planning meeting, and we'll be correcting the recitals in this ordinance to reflect that today is the first reading date.
Very good. Thank you. Public comment on this item?
We have speakers. Kelly, you have
Thank
2 minutes.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you. This is Kelly. I'd like to point out that your staff and your elected supervisors have this very, very crude notion of what is a floor area and what is livable space. They believe that people should only areas where people are living should be counted as floor area. They are not very familiar, apparently, with the California Building Code, which talks about habitable space and defines it as areas for eating, for sleeping, and for a number of other activities, which are actually quite broad. So a lot of counties, a lot of cities, most jurisdictions are looking at a lot of covered area with a roof as being floor area. Swimming pools are not covered, but you know, it should be noted that you know, already reflecting pools are not counted as swimming pools either, right? So when you have a shallow reflecting pool and you have a swimming pool, and then you have all the concrete around the swimming pool, this proposal is proposing to literally pave over large amounts of area undefined, right? There's no limit on how big these paved areas surrounding the pools, the reflecting pools. We now have unlimited pool areas. This is the goal of some of our elected representatives and the staff that's enabling this kind of very loose regulatory craziness. Thank you.
No more speakers.
Very good. I'll bring it back for deliberation and discussion. Any questions of staff? Seeing none, I'll ask for the clerk to please read the ordinance.
An ordinance amending Title 17, Sections 17.04.010 and 17.52.220 of the Alameda County General Ordinance Code to remove swimming pool from the definition of building and to add language providing that private swimming pools shall be regulated as accessory structures which are not included in floor area ratio or floor space calculations.
Mr. Chair, I will move to waive the full first reading of the draft ordinance to remove swimming pool from the definition of the Alameda County Zoning Ordinance and also to adopt the CEQA exemption pursuant to 15061.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Supervisor Marquez.
Aye.
Supervisor Tam.
Aye.
Supervisor Miley.
Aye.
Supervisor Fortunato Bass excused. President Halbert.
Aye. That item passes. We'll next move to item 10, Historic Property Preservation Agreement, a Mills Act contract with Emmanuel and Craig Robinson for 16026 Paseo del Campo San Lorenzo. Is there a staff report?
Yes, we have a brief staff report.
Thank you.
My name is Dominic Lucchese with the Alameda County Planning Department. Good morning, supervisors. Today, I'll be giving a brief presentation on two proposed historic preservation agreements, more commonly referred to as Mills Act contracts, for properties owned by Emmanuel and Craig Robinson, located at 16026 Paseo del Campo and 225 Via Linares in San Lorenzo. Next slide. So here are photos of the two residential properties in question. They're located in the San Lorenzo Village, one of the country's first master plan communities, and your board voted to add these two properties to the County Register of Historic Resources on May 8th.
Dominic, can you pause for a quick second? Council, would it be okay to hear both items at the same time? Or do we have to, they seem very similar.
Yes, that's permissible.
Okay, so then we're going to hear the report thank you, Dominic, for doing this, for both 10 and 11. We'll take them as one comment, or one item for public comment, and we will, if we have to have separate votes, we will have separate votes, but we will otherwise hear everything as one item.
You will need to take separate votes.
We'll take separate votes. Very good. Thank you. We could proceed. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. So what is, next slide, please. So what is the Mills Act? The Mills Act is a voluntary state program designed to encourage historical preservation by offering property tax relief to owners of historic properties. In exchange, owners commit to preserving and maintaining their historic properties for a minimum of 10 years. The amount of tax savings is determined by the county assessor's office and based on an income-based formula. For local jurisdictions, the Mills Act can help revitalize older areas, encourage seismic safety upgrades and code compliance, and build overall community pride. Next slide. The county adopted the Mills Act program in 2012 as part of its historic preservation ordinance. To be eligible for a Mills Act contract, a property must be listed on the national, state, or county register. And as I just mentioned, the subject properties were approved by your board for inclusion on the county register in May. The property owners submitted the two Mills Act applications in March, and the applications included comprehensive 10-year work plans, which are included as an attachment to your board letters. These plans outline restoration and maintenance projects intended to preserve the architectural integrity of each historic home. Next slide. The planning department staff reviewed the applications and found them to be compliant with requirements of the Mills Act and Historic Preservation Ordinance. On May 1st, staff presented the application to the Parks, Recreation, and Historical Commission, who reviewed and approved a certificate of appropriateness for the proposed work plans. Additionally, staff conducted a site visit and found both homes to be well-maintained and appropriate for Mills Act participation. Next slide. These contracts would be exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act because they involve historic resource restoration under Section 15331. And while the agreements will result in reduced property taxes starting in 2026, the savings are expected to be fully reinvested into the restoration and maintenance of the historic properties. And there are no additional net costs to the county. Next slide. And I want to briefly expand on the financial impact of these contracts if approved. So the tax savings are estimated at 30 to 60% annually. And the expectation is that these tax savings are reinvested directly into needed maintenance and restoration work. The final tax savings are determined by the county assessor, but we've included projected 10-year savings in this table for illustration based on the current property tax amount. So for 16026 Paseo del Campo, the proposed work plan totals $62,150, and the estimated 10-year tax savings range from $18,295 to $36,591, or about $1,800 to $3,700 annually. And similarly, for 225 Villanares, the work plan cost is $91,700, with estimated tax savings between $32,534 and $65,068 over 10 years, or about $3,250 to $6,500 annually. In both cases, the cost of the work plans exceeds the projected tax relief, demonstrating that the anticipated tax savings will be fully reinvested into preserving the historic integrity of these properties. Next slide. So to conclude, staff recommends the board approve two resolutions included in the board letters that will authorize the president of the board to execute a historic property preservation agreement or Mills Act contract with Emmanuel and Craig Robinson for maintenance and restoration of the historic properties located at 16026 Paseo del Campo and 225 Villanares in San Lorenzo. Next slide. Thank you, supervisors. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you very much. Before we go to deliberation, can I ask if there's any public comment?
We have speakers.
Okay, thank you. I support this. It's kind of interesting that very few people actually go to the trouble of doing this. So it's kind of nice to see somebody who, some people who care about the historic nature of a large suburban tract, because maybe it was one of the first large suburban manufactured tracts in America. Also, the this is pretty close. This is part of the Eden unincorporated area, and one of the important things at the last redistricting was there was a huge outcry for having two supervisors representing the unincorporated. So we do have Supervisor Tam here sitting here today, all meeting, and we now have Supervisor Nate Miley also here for the vote. Very, very privileged to have him here now. Thank you very much.
Very good. If seeing no more public comment, I'll ask for clarifying questions or comments from my colleagues. I'll recognize Supervisor Tam first and then Supervisor Marquez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a question on the total tax, because I had advanced this because this is one of the houses that was first part of the San Lorenzo Homeowners Association development project, because it's worthy of the historic designation. So essentially, this historic designation would enable the property owner to be exempt from paying property tax if he puts all those funds back into the maintenance and the renovation of the property. So in the first property, so he would not have to pay the $6,098 because the cost of some of the maintenance projects that you demonstrated exceeds that. And then the second property, he pays $10,844. So he would potentially not be paying any property taxes for the next 10 years if he puts these funds back into rehabilitation and maintenance.
The amount of property taxes is determined by the county assessor.
Right.
So it would be up to the assessor to determine what that property tax bill would be. Based on our projections, there would still be property taxes owned. We estimate that it would be a 30 to 60% reduction.
30 to 60% reduction of the property tax, or 30 to 60 of the valuation of the property that's getting taxed?
Of the property tax.
Of the property tax, because there are line items in your property tax bill that obviously are not completely related to value, whether it's seismic or flood control and that sort of. Okay.
Right.
The other question I had is on one of the properties under Exhibit B, there's a sidewalk inspection, repair, and maintenance that's estimated at $4,200. And so I thought the sidewalk piece is in the county's right of way, and it's a responsibility of the county. In this situation, is it the property owner's responsibility?
My understanding that if you have damaged sidewalk in front of your home, that the property owners are responsible. For example, if somebody trips and falls, I think that there has been a little bit of a change in that. I think historically it has been the jurisdiction's responsibility, but I believe that there was a new state law passed or something like that that did transfer that responsibility to the property owner. We could find that for sure from our public works agency if you'd like, because they do they would have that information in terms of who's responsible for damaged sidewalks in front of the home.
Okay. Well, it's one of the higher ticket items in the list of maintenance. That's why I was curious.
If I can clarify, there's an existing ordinance that shifts the responsibility of maintenance of the sidewalk to the property owner. It is the property owner's responsibility.
So this is for all the unincorporated area or just the San Lorenzo Village homeowners, because it was a private homeowners association?
This all incorporated.
Okay. Thank you. I have no further questions.
Any other questions about this? Oh, Supervisor Marquez, right, of course.
That's okay. Thank you so much for the presentation. Clarifying question with respect to the Mills Act, how do we ensure compliance? Is there annual audits? How do we verify that the work is being done?
The contract stipulates that every 5 years there be an inspection by staff.
And then I'm trying to remember, are these the first two properties under Mills Act in Alameda County? Unincorporated, right? Do we know that?
Yeah, so in unincorporated county, we have one other Mills Act contract. It's okay. In Sunol, and that was passed about 10 years ago.
Okay, and there's been no issues with monitoring compliance for that property?
Not that we're aware of.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Very good. Any other questions or comments? If not, I will entertain a motion to approve the first item, 10.
Before we go to 11. Mr. Chair, I will move the historic property preservation agreement under the Mills Act for the first property at Paseo del Campo.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
If you could clarify the language that it's adopting a resolution authorizing
and adopt the resolution authorizing the board president to execute the historic property preservation agreement under the Mills Act contract with Emmanuel and Craig Robinson.
Is that acceptable to the seconder?
Yes.
Supervisor Miley?
Yes.
Very good. It's been moved, seconded by Supervisor Tam. Miley, roll call vote, please.
Supervisor Marquez?
Aye.
Supervisor Tam?
Aye.
Supervisor Miley?
Aye.
Supervisor Fortunato Bass excused. President Halbert?
Aye. I'll now entertain a motion for item 11.
I'll move item 11 and move for adoption with the resolution authorizing the board president to execute a historic property preservation agreement under the Mills Act with Mr. Robinson.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Supervisor Marquez?
Aye.
Supervisor Tam?
Aye.
Supervisor Miley?
Aye.
Supervisor Fortunato Bass excused. President Halbert?
Aye. Very good. We'll move to our item of public input, public comment, matter, opportunity for members of the public to provide input on items not on today's agenda, but within the purview of this commission, committee. Any public comment?
We have speakers.
Yes, thank you very much. So as I mentioned out on the internet, there is a new forum for your county employees. They have a lot of free speech, so they should feel free, if they have any kind of issues with their employment, any kind of anything at all with having to do with the employment, to wages, issues, political issues, non-political issues, their requirement to show up at the office, anything. They can go out on the internet and broadcast their opinions. And so really it's a forum for county employees to express, let's say, the county's positions on matters or their own personal positions or maybe air grievances that they have with other employees or maybe shoot back at members of the public, anything at all. It's out there on the internet. It's you can your employees are free to go out there. So I maybe all the employees, especially at the political staff level for the Board of Supervisors, who are directly employed by the Board of Supervisors, they should probably go open up TikToks, Instagrams, whatever, and get out there and make your presence known on the media. So that you have more options for free speech. There's a lot of free speech, and I think county staff has been very creative in exercising it. Thank you.
No more speakers.
Thank you very much. Seeing that we have reached the conclusion of our meeting, we are now adjourned.
Recording stopped.